Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Shabbos Daf Tes Vav, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud with Halacha Vav and Avilon Tzur Daf on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Basav Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amos should have an Aliyah. And we continue with these machlokes in between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Mishnah tells us Beis Shammai Erim Beis Shammai says Ein Noisin Unushal Pishal Nosecha Tanur. One is not place bundles of flax into the oven. This was done to bleach it to make it white. Elokei Shav Hilum Baydayim. It has to be that they get heated up before Shabbos, and only that's permitted. Furthermore, of Leis at Semer Liyira, one's not allowed to put wool into the vat. In this vat was dye, and the wool was getting dyed by being placed inside. Only if there's going to be enough time for the dye to set into the wool beforehand. Meaning this is allowed to be done right before it gets dark, even though everything's going to happen on Shabbos. Now the Gemara tells Beishamai, the question is, even if she does Beishamai, what does it help? So the flax got heated before Shabbos. That's not the full process. It's not 100% bleached. So what does it help, even according to Beishamai? Amar Vo, he answers, like these villagers, that they're not makbed. They don't care if their flax is 100% bleached and purely white. They just need to be done a little bit. So it is considered like a malacha was done before Shabbos, even according to Beis Shammai, even though, again, it's not 100% complete. Rabbi Yehuda says, B'shem Shmuel, V'yishtei ha-yoyra akura, it has to be that the vat that has the dye in it is akur. It's taken off the fire. Avol m'hoysa ha-yoyra kavua, if the yoyra, this vat, was set on the fire, asur, then it's asur, even if it was done significantly before Shabbos, m'nishu m'syar Hashem m'sachot tzivoy, he's afraid that all of his dye is going to get used up, because since the fire is going, it might evaporate his dye. And he's going to add some water to it on Shabbos, and that's obviously a problem. So the only time he's permitted to do this, even if he did it before Shabbos, is if the vat is off the fire. Now Shmuel says, "Shem Ravo, Beis Hill, Yalfin Melachas Heter Melachas Iser, Beis Hill, which allows this to be done right before Shabbos, learns this Melach of Heter from Melach of Iser. Ilu also came Bishabbos, Shem Einoy Aser. If he did this on Shabbos, wouldn't it be Aser? With the Chavasa, similarly, also came Rabbi Yaim. If he did it before Shabbos, Mutter is permitted. In other words, the same way, if he puts flax into the oven on Shabbos, he's not actually doing melacha then, it's happening on its own later, but it's still usher. On the flip side as well, if he puts it in before Shabbos, even though the melacha will happen on Shabbos, since he did his part beforehand, it's mutter. And on halacha zayin with another machlaikas. The Mishnah tells us, Beshamai says, ain person mitzui this chayav ofis v'dagin, was not spare out traps for wild animals, birds, or fish, el kadei shitoin b'ad yoyim, unless there's going to be something caught in it before Shabbos. Ubeis helmatir, Beis Hill allows this. Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Beshamai erim v'chulu, and the question is, mimoidia, who's going to tell him that something got caught in the trap before Shabbos? Now this is really referring to Mishnah Maseches Be'a. We know that shechting an animal on Yontif is mutter, it just has to be muchan, prepared for this before Yontif. If not, it's considered muktzah, because it's not muchan, it's not prepared. So the Mishnah tells us that if a person set out a trap for wild animals, birds, or fish before Yontif, he's only allowed to take what he finds inside the trap on Yontif if he knows that it was caught before Yontif. And we have the same question, how does he know that it was caught before Yontif, or again an hour Mishnah before Shabbos? And the answer is, im niskalkala mitsuda, if the trap got ruined, davar barashi nitzayi b'yayim, then he knows for sure that it was caught while still day, meaning before Yontif. If it didn't get ruined, then he knows for sure that it didn't get caught while it was still daytime, and it only got caught on Yontif. This is referring to a very long trap. It could be it spanned half a mil or even a full mil, and he showed up erev Yontif to check on his trap, and he saw that it was ruined. There was something that happened to it. Now, even though he didn't see the animal in it, the fact that the trap got partially ruined, it was in Skalkel, that tells us that for sure there's an animal caught somewhere along the trap. And then when he goes to check it on Yontif itself, and he finds the animal, he can take it because he knows for sure that it was there before Yontif. Ask the Gemara, hold on a second. I feel in a skalkel amitzuda, even if he showed up erev Yontif and he saw the trap was ruined, shouldn't we suspect to say that maybe it was not trapped in Bayad Yoyim? Meaning when he comes to the trap on Yontif and he finds some animals in there, perhaps some of those animals got trapped on Yontif and not before Yontif. Just because there was one trap before Yontif, that doesn't mean more didn't get caught on Yontif. So Amar Bias Rabun, he answers, with Paris b'chayrushin. We're talking about where he spread his traps out in the chayrushin in the forest. That's where wild animals are. So number one, it's very likely that an animal is going to get trapped in there in the first place. Number two, he showed up erev Yontif and he saw that the trap was ruined, and so he knows that something got caught inside. And number three, this is a type of trap that once something gets caught inside and the rest of the trap is ruined, nothing else can get caught afterwards. And therefore, when he shows up on Yontif and he checks the trap and he finally sees where the animal is caught, he knows for sure it was caught there before Yontif and he can use it. And it's the same exact thing in regards to Shabbos. As long as he set his trap out in the forest where there's a lot of wild animals, and so he knows that someone's going to get caught, only then it's permitted according to Beis Shammai. And Tehil Chashu Ken, you should know this is true, says the Gemara. Did not was our Mishnah say, Dagim. And Vidagim loy makam shein mitsuyin. Aren't you catching fish in a place where they're found? They're found in the water. And that's where you're setting out your fish nets and your fish traps. Vakayin, so too here, but makam shechayav oif mitsuyin, we're talking about that he's spreading out traps in a place where there are wild animals and birds that will get caught there. And so that way it's permitted. Now the Gemara continues with another reference to that Mishnah in Beitza. A story is brought about a non Jew who came to Gamaliel and gave him fish on Yontif. And Gamaliel said, they're mutter to take. I just don't want to take a present from him. Now Gemara tells tells us, Rav Chiya says, B'shem Rebbe, Iskin lahalacha, this was established lahalacha, the one is allowed to take these fish or something that a non-Jew brings on Yontef. Now, Safran Meimar, they wanted to say, Mutar lamachar, then it means that they're mutar the next day. That's because there's a suffix whether or not they were caught on Yontef, in which case they would be aser, because they're not muchan, they're mukta, and the chiddush of the Mishnah is that one's allowed to take them and eat them tomorrow. However, Tesavon based on top, Rav Chiskiya, Rav Uziel, Bered, Rav Chonya, Debras Chavron, they say, Mutarin mamish, that it's 100% mutar to take them on Yontef and use them on Yontef, and that one doesn't have to wait for the next day. And Safran Meimar, the thought to explain why this would be is because Sveika Yatiroi, the suffix mukta, is actually mutter to eat on Yontef itself. Erchanani Reb Yonason, Trehein Amrin, suffix Hachein Aser, both of them say that if it's suffix Muchan, it's suffix mukta, it's Aser, whereas Reb Yochanan Amr, he says suffix Hachein mutter. Suffix Muchan is mutter. But now we have a totally different explanation in Reb Gamaliel. Really, we would say that suffix mukta is Aser. The question is, does the Iser of mukta apply to something coming from a non Jew in the first place? He doesn't have an Iser to catch fish on Yontef, so maybe Yid would be able to use them right away, even if they were caught on Yontef. And that's what the Gemara now tells us. Rav Chiya Ruba, Rav Shim B'Rabbi, they argue, Chadam or one says, Hagoy Tzar Chachin, that something coming from a guy on Yontef needs Hachana, meaning it needs to be prepared for this use before Yontef, and therefore it would be Aser to use it on Yontef. Whereas Rav Charan Amr, the other one says, Ein Hagoy Tzar Chachin, something coming from a guy doesn't need Hachana, doesn't need to be Muchan before Yontef or Shabbos, because again, as we explained, in the case of our fish, for example, a guy is allowed to fish on Yontef, so there's no Iser in any of his stuff being Mukta, they don't need to be Muchan beforehand. Nothing more just tells us, we don't know who holds what. We don't know who says it's mutter and who says it's usser. And here's an answer. From a situation that happened, the Rav was late in coming to visit Rav Chiya Ruba. He used to visit him on Yontef, and he was late one time. And Rav Chiya Rabba asked him, Hey Navisa, where were you? And Rav responded to him, There's a caravan of non-Jews passing by. And I was eating figs from them. And from the fact that Rav Chiya Rabba didn't tell Rav, oh, you're not allowed to have that. That's suffik muchan. You can't have something like that from a non-Jew. It must be that he's the one that holds, meaning Rav Chiya Rabba is the one that holds that something coming from a guy does not need achana, does not need to be muchan, and that's the answer to our question. Now, a story about this, Chad Talmud min de Reb Simai, that's a proper girsa, a Talmud Reb Simai, Azlan Tavirus, he went to this place called Antivirus, there was a lot of goyim there, va'aisun le darmaskina, and they brought him a darmaskina, which is a type of fruit, va'achal, and he ate it, and this is on Yontef, whereas Chad Talmud min de Reb Shua ben Levi, a Talmud Reb Shua ben Levi, Azlan Taman, he went to that same place, va'aisi le darmaskina, and the guy brought him a darmaskina, va'loyachal, and he didn't eat it, va'asav markumi rabbi, and he came and said this in front of his Rebbe, he said that I saw this Talmud Reb Simai eating this damaskina fruit that they brought him, but you're not allowed to. However, Amalei, Rav Shua ben Levi told his Talmud, do nag b'shitas Reb Simai. He holds Reb Simai, his Rebbe. Reb Simai, Reb Simai says, ain't a guy tzar chachin. That something coming from a guy does not need to be muchan beforehand for that. And while as then regarding muchan, something being prepared before Yontef, Rav Avoh says, b'shem Rav Shua ben Levi, dum demanios shebekarem hare ilu asuras. These dum demanios type of grapes in a vineyard are usur. These are grapes that have a lot of juice naturally oozing out of them. They're for sure going to fall off the vine, and if he comes into his vineyard on Yontef and he sees them on the floor, he has to assume that they fell off on Yontef, which means that they were not muchan, they were not prepared for this before Yontef, and they're not allowed to eat them. Now we have a different thing in regards to dates. Rav Huna says b'shem Rav shatzim, these are dates that fell off a tree and they were found caught in between the thorns at the base of the palm tree, and shebechapim, the dates are caught in the branches up on the top of the tree, hare il mutarin, those are mutar, even though we found them on Yontef, because he could assume that they fell off before Yontef and they were there for quite some time. And moving on to Halacha Ches with yet another machlekes. Besham says, Ein Moichan Lunachri, one is not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew Erev Shabbos, V'loi Toinen Imai, and he's not allowed to load something up with him on his donkey, V'loi Magbiin Olav, and he's not allowed to put a load onto the guy himself, Al Kadei Shegil Makam Karov, unless the guy has enough time to reach a Makam Karov, a close by place, before Shabbos starts. If he's not able to reach a Makam Karov, so it looks like the Yid was helping the guy, or worse, instructing the guy to do Malacha on Shabbos. However, Beisil Matir and Beisil allows this to be done even though it's right before Shabbos. I think more quotes Mishnah, Beisham Erev Vechulu, and the question is, Ezu Makam Karov, what exactly is this Makam Karov? What does that mean, Beishamai, that the non-Jew has to be able to reach a Makam Karov? And the answer is, Yemer Kad Mar Shmuel, will bring the answer based off of what Shmuel said, Kegayin Min Chotel and Arda, he was referencing something else, and he said, for example, from a place called Chotra to Narda, Wafachakain, so to over here, the distance between Chotra and Arda, that's how far the non-Jew has to be able to reach. Now, Istabai Meimer, some say, Achu Magile Beisai, this Makam Karov means the non-Jew getting to his house. Istabai Meimer, some say, Achu Magile Iroi, this Makam Karov means the non-Jew has to be able to reach his city, and then it's permitted in Shitas Beis Shammai. Now Rabbi Kiva says, Kidei Sheyetzei Makam Pesach V'Kadosh Shalav Hayoyim, all the non-Jew has to be able to do is reach the entrance of the Jew's house or chatzar, and even if the day becomes holy then, meaning Shabbos comes in right away, that's not a problem because he at least reached the door. Now Rabbi Yechon clarifies, Zu Dev Rabbi Yossi, this is what Rabbi Yossi is saying, meaning the quote in our Mishnah of Beis Hillel was said by Rabbi Yaisi. Rabbi Yaisi was telling us that this is Shitas Beis Hillel. Rabbi Kiva Balach Real Divrei Beis Hillel. Rabbi Kiva is coming to have a clarity in Shitas Beis Hillel that when Rabbi Yaisi said that Beis Hillel holds this is mutter, it's not that Beis Hillel allows the Yid to sell something to the guy, for example, literally 2 seconds before Shabbos. It has to be that the guy has enough time to take it to the Pesach, to the entrance of the house or the Chatzer, and only then if it becomes Shabbos, then it's permitted Shitas Beis Hillel. But if there isn't even that amount of time, so then it's not permitted even in Shitas Beis Hillel. And similarly, Brassa tells us, ain't nice and legoy almanas latzeis. A yid is not give food to a guy almanas latzeis. Almanas over here does not mean on condition. It means that he knows the guy is going to take the food from his house or chatzer and take it out to the Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. That's aser, because it's like the yid is instructing him to do this malacha, which is aser. Whereas natal v'yatza ain't adzaka glai. If he took it and he carried it out on his own, which means either you gave him the food, but you didn't think he would take it out. You thought maybe he'd sit down right away and eat it, or he took it on his own and walked out with it. So you don't have to deal with him, meaning you don't have to chase after him and say, don't carry it out. No, it's problematic. Let him do it because he did it on his own. And similarly, one is allowed to give food to a dog if he knows that the dog is going to carry it out. That could be the Isra of Mechamer, which is having an animal do malacha for him on Shabbos. Whereas Natal V'yatza, in Adzakogloi, if the dog took it on his own and carried it out, then you don't have to do anything. You don't have to chase him and take the food back. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continuing to discuss a non-Jew doing malacha for a Yid on Shabbos. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.